We're taking some time this morning and remembering Rush Limbaugh, a voice on WSGW that for over 30 years was part of our radio programming, making him one of the longest radio programs broadcasting here on WSGW. And behind you, Dave, and Terry Henney, and you, Art Lewis, he was fourth as far as the longest running voice just heard on WSGW.
Yep.
How about that?
And during my program coming up after the 10 o'clock hour, and Dave will be interested, we are going to talk to our former program director, Rick Belcher, who was here at the time that Rush was put on the air in 1988. And, of course, our then general manager, John Casey, was kind of way ahead of everybody, because I think we were like the 60th station or something like that to put Rush on, way ahead of the curve. And it's been continuous ever since.
And we know that one of the reasons that Rush was able to have success that he had is something we talked about earlier, and I know you've referenced before, Lewis, and it's something that, as far as your talk show is concerned, along the same lines of your ability to do what you do, is when the Fairness Doctrine was not codified in 87, it opened up the airwaves for Rush, for you, and for lots of talk show hosts to follow.
Yeah, we're gonna go through that and do a little history of talk radio as Rush played into it, and what it meant for particularly AM radio during the time, and it was a time that really changed the industry in many, many ways, and now talk radio has gone from a very small format to the major format in radio broadcasting across the country. More talk stations than almost any other format.
Yeah, I know it's growing. I can't remember what the count is, but it's thousands.
It is
4,000 or something.
4,000, yeah. It's the top format in radio talk. Or talk, or news talk, a variation of it, one way or the other.
Right. Not to mention now podcasting too, as well.
Yeah, which you know just adds to it. Adds to it. You know, there's no telling what the future is going to hold for it. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot of people here. It's an interesting point, Pat, because people who maybe had something to say, an opinion to express, or whatever, even if it was just some kind of general discussion they wanted to get into. They don't need a radio broadcast every say. They got a podcast. And many have been very successful doing that.
Now all of the shill people for the syndicators are going to start ringing my phone. They're going to want to try to get their talent. I've already had one yesterday. I couldn't believe a small, unknown, more or less network was already contacting us yesterday trying to fill that slot. No, guys, no chance with the shows you're offering.
We have expectations the next couple of days that the continuation of what happened on Rush's show yesterday, the Limbaugh legacy, as they called it, running some clips of his old shows, will happen the next couple of days, and then we'll go forth into the future. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, about his program was ways that, because of the number of people he reached, and because of his passion, if Rush liked something, it could have a profound influence on the business or whatever was associated. I think of two things that come to mind. As great as Chip Davis and Mannheim Steamroller were, their first Christmas album didn't come out until 1984. And it was just a few years after that that Rush was syndicated and would utilize as bumper music, in and out of breaks, the Mannheim Steamroller Christmas music. And sales started to take off.
It sure did.
In a large way. And people were introduced to this Christmas music. Now has become a standard and a staple. I know that Chip Davis credits Rush with helping introduce a nationwide audience to music that he had been producing.
And the other was a beverage, wasn't
it? I got it written down right here, yes. Okay. Snapple.
Snapple, right.
Snapple was big.
And Rush discovered Snapple and started talking about it and describing it on the radio. And again, remember, this is a guy who had the ability to utilize the medium as it was supposed to be used, and he would describe it and sip it and make it sound so enticing on air, and the sales of Snapple went through the roof.
He also didn't hurt the Cigar Aficionado magazine.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's another one.
He was big in that.
That's another one, so a lot of success stories attached because of his ability to communicate And again, his passion became his listeners' passions, too.
One of the things people were talking about last night on a lot of the Fox programming is how he was raised a lot of money for a lot of different causes and health and other organizations, and helped people out, too, without people knowing about it, that he was very generous with a lot of what he did.
Yeah,
and something else closer to home that we forget. He set the stage for Pat Johnston.
He did.
He did football picks.
Yes. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he did.
His famous environmental wacko football picks where he would choose the winners and losers based on the mascots of the team.
Which somehow we sometimes wonder how Pat's doing.
That's so you right. Never know. Right.
Yeah, that's a good point because he had a passion for football. In fact, and passion, Pat, you know, for his Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers, yeah,
yep,
he was a big
absolutely
Steelers fan.
That's where he got his radio chops going in Pittsburgh as a disc jockey when he was known as Jeff Christie,
right?
In Pittsburgh, so he had great love for the Steelers.
Oh yeah, and talked about them every year at least. It's at least a few times during the fall, he'd bring them up,
and he knew what he was talking about too. He was no just a fly-by-night football fan,
right?
In fact, he used to have some former players that would call on his show that he would have conversations
well,
with.
Well, for a short period of time until they realized they weren't going to control him. He was on ESPN for a while as a color analyst for 4 weeks, I think he lasted. And then he said something about, I think, was
Donovan
McNabb, right?
Donovan McNabb.
And cost him his position. But
he also did a TV show briefly, but he just found that radio was his thing, not TV, and he went right back to doing
radio.
See,
that's when I first knew him, was that I woke up in the morning, and I think Channel 7 in Detroit would play him.
Oh, really?
Early in the morning. I think that's when I first heard of him.
And we also, here in Saginaw, hosted one of his very early Rush to Excellence tours.
Oh, that's right.
In town, and had him at Saginaw Valley State University in the Ryder Center to a big crowd, and had lunch with him at the Montague, if I remember right, because I drove him all over town. So and also there is a very interesting story about Rush and Saginaw. When he came to town, he wasn't feeling all that well.
Mm-hmm.
And our then general manager, John Casey, set him up with a local well-known doctor who prescribed some kind of medication which actually helped Rush tremendously. And he talked about it several times when he got back to his headquarters in New York, and he talked about it on the air.
He did.
About this doctor and how he gave him this prescription that really worked, and it was pretty interesting back in the day. That was 89, I think. 88 or it was 89, because I think it was, he'd been on the air about a year, I think, before he came to town.
Yeah, it was he came to town in 89, exactly. A lot of memories, and we again reference Rush because of his longtime association as our part of our programming lineup on WSGW.
Call. I'll try to find it. I've got a bin of all my old college writings. I've got to see if I can find a 20-page paper I did my week in listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was 1998, I think. It was during
kind of a grade did you get?
I think I got an A, and I think my professor purposely said, Pat, you should listen, and I want you to do that. And then,
was it assigned or was it by choice?
But it was a punishment, right?
It was during the Clinton impeachment scandal, all of that. So it was a very interesting time in politics.
Sure, absolutely.
It was pretty good. And for somebody, I think he wanted me to listen for somebody who wanted to get into radio just to say, all right, here, listen to this guy. And I know you won't agree with everything he's saying, but still listen to him. And I did. I think I got a good grade, too.
Oh, that's good.
That's where I really got, like I said, the TV show was where I was introduced to him. Always heard snippets. I read, I'd say most of his first book was from 1992.
The Way Things Ought to Be.
That's right. Yeah, I remember reading most of that. And then, but that's when I really got to listen to him was 98. And then, especially after 2001.
A lot of years we know, a lot of memories for Rush Limbaugh with WSGW.